Hi, I'm Edward Sree, and welcome to All Things Catholic, where real faith meets real life.
Do you take advantage of the many ways God invites you to grow in your spiritual life through your work? Yes, through your work. Did you know you can turn your work into a prayer? And this is a profound place of encountering God if we have the right supernatural vision. Now, I want to be clear what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about just the full-time work you might have in an office at your job. That's certainly a great place of spiritual growth that God gives us. But I'm talking about if you're just a student and you're studying, you can encounter God in your studies. Or you volunteer at the parish, you help set up chairs, you help with a ministry. That can be a profound opportunity to grow spiritually if you have the right perspective. I'm talking about also just the daily little chores and responsibilities we have in our home, whether it's cutting the grass, taking out the trash, running kids to their activities and to school, cooking a meal, changing diapers. So many of us miss the many beautiful opportunities God is giving us to turn our work into a prayer, to sanctify our work, and to grow in holiness. This is especially true when our work is difficult. Whether it's dealing with a crying toddler or some project at work or a misunderstanding with your boss. These are profound, powerful moments where we can encounter God if we have the right supernatural vision. So if you ever face something difficult in your work, in your daily responsibilities, whether in the home or out of the home, if you feel stressed, if you ever feel unappreciated, unseen, you wonder, does anyone even notice? Does anyone see what I'm doing for the company? Or does anyone even notice what I'm doing at home for my kids? Sometimes I feel like my spouse doesn't even understand. My spouse doesn't appreciate all I'm doing for him or for her or what I'm doing for the family. Do you ever feel misunderstood in your work? Do you ever feel exhausted, like you have nothing left to give? Well, this week, the Catholic Church is celebrating a great feast day related to all this. It's the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And I want to take time in this week's podcast to turn our attention to how we can make our work a prayer and how we can encounter God and find the strength we need to fulfill our daily responsibilities at home or in work or at the parish, but also how we can encounter God more and actually grow in holiness through our work. And that's what we're going to look at in this week's podcast. So welcome to All Things Catholic. I'm your host, Edward Sree. So good to be with you all. It's been just a blessing being able to be with a number of parishes and parish leaders in different parts of the country. Recently, I was just at the Altoona Johnstown Diocese. It was wonderful being with college students from all over, from Penn State and many other schools over there as we were at Mount Aloysius College. And it was a blast being up till, I think I was up till like 11:15 at night with about 120 college students recently here. And then the hundreds of people who came out, priests, deacons, parishioners, lay people for their diocesan congress recently. So thanks for having me, and please pray for everybody in Altoona Johnstown Diocese. That was a wonderful, wonderful gift. My wife and I are getting ready to go and do a marriage retreat for the Diocese of Birmingham. So if anyone is going to be at that marriage retreat we're offering coming up in mid-May, please come up and introduce yourself. We'd love to get to meet you. And it's a great gift when I get to go and be with my wife. You know, my wife is a full-time mom. That's her main desire. And so we don't get to travel as much doing talks and all. But you know, every once in a while we do it, and it's a great joy, and looking forward to that event coming up in Birmingham, Alabama. But I want to tell you about St. Joseph, something really special that happens when I lead pilgrimages to the Holy Land. We always go to Nazareth. And of course, the main attention in Nazareth is the magnificent structure, the Church of the Annunciation, which houses the first century Jewish, the excavations of a first century Jewish home that's believed to be the home of Mary. There's a lot of good archaeological evidence for this, which I can get into another time. You can come on my pilgrimage, I'll tell you all about that. But that, of course, is just incredible, to go to the very place that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. But I want you to know, people often confuse the different houses of Mary. Like that house, she wasn't living with Joseph yet. Yeah, this was not Joseph's house. This isn't where the Holy Family lived. This was the place where Mary was living when the angel appeared to her. She's living with St. Anne and St. Joachim at the time. And so we love going there, but there's another sacred spot very close by and easy to walk to, just about, it's on the same complex, actually, just on the other side of the complex, we can go to another place called Joseph's Workshop. And there's a simple chapel that's there, but you can go underneath the chapel and they have the excavations of a place that is at least, you know, spiritually, traditionally believed to be where the Holy Family resided. And they call it Joseph's Workshop because presumably Joseph would have, you know, he might have been doing projects around as well, but he could work out of his own home as many people did. And they have a beautiful image that's down there. It's a modern image that is depicting the life of the Holy Family. So it allows you to just kind of imagine what was their daily life like. And you don't see them like kneeling down and praying the rosary. You know, they're in the midst of just ordinary daily life. You see that there's a fire and there's a table. And you see that Mary is preparing the bread to eat. Jesus is preparing to sit at the table. Joseph has his carpentry work with him. And you just see the family in the midst of their daily life. And as St. John Paul II and the Catechism and many other Catholic writers have highlighted, Mary, Jesus, and Joseph encountered each other, encountered God in their spiritual life, in their daily work. For 30 years, we have the hidden life of Jesus. For 30 years, he wasn't going around preaching and giving the Sermon on the Mount and teaching Beatitudes and healing people and calming storms. No, he was living a hidden life of daily work, quietly, behind the scenes. And that's meant to tell us something very important. That work isn't something, oh, it's this hard thing we just have to go do to make some money. No, it's actually a place of encounter. And I want to talk this week about how we can experience work as a place of encounter, like the Holy Family. You know, whether it's the work again in the office or in this image here underneath Joseph's Workshop in Nazareth, it's depicting the work right there in the home. And that's sometimes the hardest work. That's sometimes the place we get most stressed out. That could be the place we feel like less competent. You know, like I went to school and I learned how to be an engineer. So when I go to work, I can exercise my engineering skills. But when I come home, I got to be a dad. I got to be a husband and I got to take care of my wife. And I didn't get as much training in that maybe. So we can feel less competent. We could feel a little more overwhelmed even in the home. So I want us to, when we think about work, don't think of it as just the full-time job, your career. Think of work also as in the home, the daily responsibilities you have, whether you're single and you have to, you know, care for your house and the daily tasks you have to do to just care for yourself. Same thing if you're a family and you have to care for other people in that relationship. Those daily tasks and responsibilities are profound places to encounter God and grow in holiness and turn our work into prayer. So I'm going to talk about a number of things. First of all, so practically here, first thing, pray before your work. Practical thing we can all do. Whatever we're doing, we can say a short prayer. You know, whenever we go driving, I'm driving my kids to their soccer game or I'm driving them to school, we always just do a little prayer, a little guardian angel prayer before we set off and drive. But I think maybe applying it to like a project we're working on. Maybe there's some project at home. Maybe there's a project at the office. I can actually just take a moment and say a little prayer. You know, when I'm writing, for example, that's one of my jobs. And, you know, I'm an author and I write, and I always try to begin my work with a prayer because I don't want it to be just my work. I want to ask for God's blessings on it. I ask for the Holy Spirit to guide me because I want it to be His work. And that could be true for a book. It could be true before I'm teaching a class. I'll do that. I'll pray before I go into a meeting, whether it's leading the meeting in prayer or even beforehand. Like if it's a big meeting, I'll go, you know, pray in the chapel. Like we have a big board meeting coming up and I'll definitely go. In fact, later today, I'm heading to a chapel to go pray about the board meeting and the events of the week. And because I want God to guide my work, I want Him to guide my words. I want to think and plan and plot, but in His presence, asking Him to guide me. And this is good for really big projects we have going on in life, and it could be just little simple things. But I think about what Jesus says the night before He died in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, "Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing." I think that's really important for us to ponder and really apply. Am I really convinced that without God, I can't do anything? You know, because if I really am convinced of how much I need God, I'm going to turn to Him in prayer. And so I don't want to just jump into my meeting and jump into this project all on my own. When I'm doing that, it's kind of like I'm pridefully saying, I don't need you, God. I've got it on my own. I think it's a really good thing to just begin. You know, maybe we can do it generically, like at the beginning of the day. Maybe you pray a prayer known as the morning offering, a beautiful prayer where you offer up the whole day. You offer up all of your work to God. And that can kind of cover all of the work you do. So you don't have to stop at every little time. Okay, I'm chopping bacon. You know, okay, that's I gotta say a prayer before I chop the bacon for the kids. Or I'm taking out the trash now. I'm gonna say a little prayer before I take out the trash. You know, you don't have to stop and pray for every little tiny work. I think a morning offering covers all of that. But I would say when it's something a little more significant, you know, you have to have a difficult or a complex conversation with your child. Or you know you need to have a difficult conversation with a teacher at school, or you know that you've got something that you have to get done and it's on a tight deadline. If it's a bigger project, I think it's really good to pause and just say a prayer before you go into it, to ask the Lord to guide you so it's not your work, but it's His. All right, now that's one thing to do, but there's a second thing. We can offer our work as a prayer. We can offer our work as a prayer. This is really important. We can unite our work with Christ's work of redemption, uniting it with His saving work in His death and resurrection. I think again of that beautiful traditional morning offering prayer. Maybe you've heard this prayer before. Well, we'll try to put this one in the show notes here for you. I think that this is there's a great traditional prayer where we say, you know, Jesus, I offer you all my works, all my joys, all my sufferings. The traditional prayer goes, oh, Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. So I'm uniting my daily life, all of my works, all of my joys, all of my sufferings, all the things that are going to come up in this day. I'm going to offer it and unite it with Christ's sacrifice on the cross, which is made present at every Mass, at the sacrifice of all the Masses around the world. That's what we're meant to do. Everything we do is meant to lead toward the cross and to the Mass. You see, I think sometimes we think that our spiritual life happens in the Adoration Chapel, like that's where spirituality takes place, and or it's at Mass. You know, when you go to Mass, that's where your spiritual life takes off, and it's, you know, in the sacraments, confession. And don't get me wrong, of course, everything is leading toward that, but it's not disconnected from the rest of our lives. And I think, sadly, many Catholics miss this point. We miss that the rest of our lives are meant to be united with Jesus in His offering of Himself to the Father. And that offering of Himself, that sacrifice of Christ, is made present at every Mass so we could participate in it. So we join all of our works, all of our joys, all of our sufferings with Jesus. And this is how our work becomes sanctified. So if you think about it, if we want to offer our work as a prayer, a couple of things we want to do is, we want to do our work for God. We want to put a lot of love into our work, whether that's the meal we're preparing, whether it's sweeping the floor, whether it's cleaning up the messes of the children, or whether it's the project at work, the report I have to turn in, the presentation I have to give at the office. I want to put a lot of love into it. It's good in itself. It's good to do work. I want to do it with excellence, just in and of itself. But it can be sanctified. A spiritual element can pervade my work if I come with the right spiritual attitude. Because let's see the connection with the Mass. I really want to make sure you get this. I'm about to really spell out a crucial point of the Catholic spiritual life here that I want to make sure you get. So if you're a little distracted right now, give me your full attention right now. I've already kind of alluded to this a bit, but I want to spell it out. At every Mass, the sacrifice of Christ is made present, the perfect act of worship, the perfect work. This is the most perfect work. The gift of His very life to the Father, that perfect work of redemption on Calvary, is made present at every Mass. That's why we call it the sacrifice of the Mass, especially at those words of consecration. This is my body offered for you. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. At that moment, the sacrifice of Christ made present to us in the Eucharistic liturgy. And what we're called to do is unite our whole lives with that. In other words, our lives are made to be offered up to God as a gift of love, uniting it with the perfect gift of love of Jesus. All right, you see the connection. So you're starting to see the connection between what happens at Mass and then the rest of my life. So here's the crucial point I want to spell out. If the rest of my life, all of my daily responsibilities, whether it's the little ones at home or the big ones in the office, but let's be honest, sometimes the things we do at home are actually bigger than what I do in the office. Many times that's the case. So all that I'm doing in the rest of my life outside of church, outside of the Adoration Chapel, outside of the liturgy, all that I'm doing out there is meant to be oriented toward the liturgy so that I unite everything I'm doing in the rest of my life with the offering of Christ. So here's the key point. This is why I want to give my best to sweeping the floor. I want to give my best to cleaning up the kids' toys. I want to give my best to getting that email in on time. I want to give my best to that project I have to submit on a certain deadline. It's not disconnected. What I do in the office, what I do with my colleagues, what I do with the work I do in the parish, and what I'm doing with my spouse and with my children in my home, all of that, I want to put a lot of love into it. Not just, it's good to put a lot of love into it just in and of itself, just to be a virtuous person, fulfill my daily responsibilities to the people in my life, to my boss, my employer, my church, my spouse, my family. That's good in itself, but it takes on supernatural meaning when I try to give my best in these areas so that I can offer it up at Mass and unite it with the gift of Christ. If I can see the sanctification of my work in the little things I'm doing each day, I'll give my best because I know it's not just good for here, for this little project, it's good for my soul and making a gift to Jesus. That's why Mother Teresa often said, you know, do little things with great love. St. Therese, you know, she's drawing on St. Therese here, actually. So do little things with great love. That's how we sanctify our work. I think about St. Jose Maria Escriva said, add a supernatural motive to your ordinary work. That's what we're doing. We should do ordinary work to be virtuous men and women, just do it well, try to do it with excellence the best we can. But we can actually add a supernatural perspective when I see I'm gonna do this little report. I'm gonna turn in this email. I'm gonna run this meeting. I wanna run it well for Jesus. So I have a more beautiful gift to offer him on the cross. Now we have to be human and realistic. I want to just round this out a bit, a little balance on this. That, you know, many times we're just overwhelmed, we're stretched, especially in our modern age. We're not going to have everything at A-plus level, and we shouldn't get discouraged by that. But we can even comment if I feel like I'm like a C-minus as a dad this week. Or, man, you know, that report I turned in, it was rushed. I didn't get all the information. It was only a C-plus. I'm not going to be able to get A-plus in everything. I'm not perfect. But even there, even when I fall, even in my weaknesses, even when I feel like I'm not doing well at home as a mom, as a dad, or I'm not doing well in the office, or things didn't go well in the thing I was running at the parish or whatever, I can still even in humility offer that to the Lord in the Mass. Humbly just saying, Lord, this is the best I could do. I know if I have a chance to do it again, I'll probably be a little more thoughtful. I'll prepare a little more and it'll be better, but I want to give you even this. It's a beautiful thing we could do. Now, I want to say a third thing that we can do is that we can offer our work for an intention. I don't think people realize this. Did you know that? That you can actually offer your work and offer it up for a certain intention. I pray for, you know, this thing going on in my spiritual life. I pray for this relationship. I pray for this problem I'm facing. So I'm going to offer up this for this intention. Or maybe I offer it up in reparation for my sins. Or I can even offer it up as an intercessory prayer. This is a beautiful thing to do. Did you know this? Like if you're doing a hard task, you know, let's say, if it's me, I'm not really good at handyman kind of stuff. And if I had to fix something in our house, it would be stressful for me. It'd be a great gift to offer up if I do it with love, try to do it with patience and peace and cheerfulness, even though it might be hard for me. It would be a great thing if I could, maybe I offer it up for one of my kids, or I offer it up for the conversion of someone I know that's far away from Jesus. I can offer up my work. You should offer up work for your children. Offer it up for your friends. It's like God is giving us spiritual gold coins all throughout our day, hundreds of them. And I think we just like leave them on the floor. We just forget that, oh no, I can encounter God in my work.
and I can do this little task. I can try to do it with love and then unite it with the Mass. And I can even offer this work for someone's soul, for someone's conversion. This is incredible. These are beautiful little golden coins, if you will, that God is giving us every day. And we don't spend them. We just leave them on the floor. We leave them behind. So I know many times I will begin a work with prayer and I'll ask God to bless my work. But I know when I'm on my game in the best and I'm thinking about my work in a supernatural perspective, I'll offer it up for somebody. Or maybe I'll offer it up for some problem I'm facing, or maybe I'm discerning something and I'll offer it up for God to guide me. So it has nothing to do with the work itself. I'm just offering my work as a sacrifice and I give it an intention. It's a beautiful thing we could do, and most Catholics miss this. So last thing I'll say is that we can even encounter God when our work is hard, when it's difficult. I have to imagine that there were many times in Joseph's life that things weren't easy. You know, it's go pick up and go move down to Bethlehem. Your wife's, yeah, I know she's in the last trimester, but you know, Roman soldiers are coming and you gotta move to go be counted in the census. That would have been really hard. I mean, I could picture, you know, if that were me, I might be complaining. It's like, what? You can't do that. My wife's pregnant. And I'd be all frustrated and I could get discouraged and overwhelmed. This changed all my plans. Maybe Joseph had a big contract to do some building project there in Galilee. And now that's going to be all upended because he's got to pick up and leave. Gotta believe Joseph faced many difficulties in his work. I mean, he finally gets to Bethlehem. He settles in a little bit. They have the baby and then boom, angel appears. Got to go down to Egypt. That would have been really hard. Joseph, I'm sure, faced many challenges, many unexpected twists and turns in his work, and yet we can still find God. Did you ever hear of Joseph complaining? Did you ever hear of Joseph whining? Joseph getting frustrated? No, he was just a great leader, a great spiritual leader. And I would say even when work is hard, when it's difficult, that might be some of the most beautiful moments that we can offer to God as a prayer. It's just like when prayer is dry and it's dark and it's hard and we don't feel close to God. Those are oftentimes the most important opportunities God gives us to grow in the spiritual life, that he's actually closer to us than we may realize. I've talked about that in a number of shows in this last year. I think it's the same in work, that it's in those times when work could be really hard, whether I just feel completely wiped out, the baby just keeps getting up every night and I'm exhausted, and I just don't have anything left to give. I think persevering in our daily responsibilities, learning to rely on God, asking his blessings on it, of course. But sometimes that is much more magnificent than, hey, I gave a great presentation in the office today. No, it's actually persevering through the really hard things that happen in our career, in our parish, in our homes, in our relationships. Those dark moments are places actually that God wants to meet us and rely on him more and to help us, to guide us, to rely on him. And that could be a really good thing. I could tell you just in my life that some of the most challenging periods where I was stretched, overwhelmed, uncertain how it was all going to turn out in my career or things even on the home front, I can look back and see those were the most important times of seasons in my life for growth. I didn't see it at the time. I just thought, oh my goodness, where is my life going? Why is this happening? But I can look back and see by persevering, by not giving up, not falling into despair, not turning away, that God was holding me. God was holding me through those trials. And there was a greater trust that came from that, maybe a greater courage through that, a greater perseverance through hard things. So anyway, I just have to think Joseph felt that. And if you're feeling that in your life right now, turn to Joseph, ask him to pray for you. He had many times, many twists and turns. Things were unexpected. Things didn't turn out the way he was hoping. That happened over and over again in his life. And yet he continued to find God and be faithful. And he's a saint. And he wants you to be too. And he wants me to be too. Let's turn to Joseph. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Thanks so much for listening. This is the All Things Catholic podcast. I'm your host, Edward Sree. And again, you can always reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. God bless.